I think we have some children that may be departing to spend some time with Prudence. And Lord Jesus, as those children move on, pray your blessing upon them and upon their time together. Grow them into your followers for the glory of your name. Amen. Now I invite you to pray with me and to pray for me. Lord God, take my words this morning and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, bring conviction to our hearts through your living word and initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. We are now past the six-month mark of this COVID-19 season. 6 months of uncertainty, anxiety, restrictions, masks, constant change, unclear news. 6 months where it's been challenging for every one of you and for me. You've been challenged in your personal lives, in your work lives, in your school lives, in your everyday routine lives. Emotions have all been elevated, whether tension or loneliness or anxiety, frustration, anger, fear, you name it. It seems every emotion has been heightened in some way. This has been a season like none I can ever remember. And I'm just referring to the coronavirus crisis. Add in the other current national crises surrounding racial tensions, law enforcement, rioting, political division, unemployment, workplace changes, hurricanes, wildfires, Dr. Pepper shortages. This has been an extraordinary season of tension and anxiety. You know, we need to laugh sometimes. It's also been a season of great loss. You've all suffered loss on one level or another, some minor, some perhaps insignificant that you're not even aware of. Others of you, significant losses. Longtime Redeemer member Pat Bissell and her family represent an example of a significant loss during coronavirus. And I got permission to tell this part of Pat's story. And I don't want to dramatize it. I just want to tell it. Pat, for years, she was a faithful member of Redeemer for years. And then there were many years where she was dealing with failing memory and with memory issues. She was residing at the beginning of this year in a local memory care unit. And her family visited her regularly. Many of you visited her regularly. Her children and grandchildren visited her regularly, caring for her in the ups and downs of her failing memory. The family's last visit with her was late February. She was alert, aware. She was mostly herself, still dealing with the memory. And then COVID-19 happened, and the facility went on lockdown. Her family and friends could no longer visit. They and some of you experienced frustration and anxiety and even anger as they tried to get in to see her, but they could not. Because of her memory issues, FaceTime or videos or even phone calls weren't really helpful. They couldn't hug her. They couldn't hold her. They couldn't love on her. Less than 2 months after the lockdown began, the family received a phone call that Pat had significantly declined and had been moved to hospice. They could now visit. She was no longer alert. She was breathing, and that was about it. I got to see her. She was alive but non-responsive. And a few short days later, Pat was in the loving arms of her Savior, Jesus Christ. And the family was devastated, dealing with all of the emotions. What else could they have done? Why weren't they allowed to see her? What did they miss? Why couldn't they get in? Why would the Lord allow this to happen? The Bissell family's story is just one of thousands. in our country, I'm guessing. Elderly family members isolated, on lockdown, ultimately dying without family members or friends beside them because they couldn't get in. Thousands of others experiencing what Pat experienced, but then hundreds of thousands of family members and friends experiencing what Pat's family members experienced. This is a national, perhaps a worldwide tragedy, an epidemic of loss mixed in with this frustration and this anger and this lack of control. Then you combine it with everything else going on. This is why I'm so grateful to have done this study on Psalm 23 with you together. I've experienced a lot of the same emotions, a lot of the same losses, some losses I've experienced with you, or I've just been aware. I'm weary, and I know you are too. God's word in Psalm 23 has breathed peace and hope back into me that I didn't have, that I was grasping for, trying to remember amidst all that was going on. It's a peace and a hope that the world cannot access apart from Jesus Christ. When the Lord is your shepherd, he is with you. We've discussed that reality for 3 weeks, and now we reach verse 4. If you have your leaflet or a Bible open, or if you have your Anglican prayer book, page 295. King David in verse 4, or through the psalm, he expresses life's reality. And then in verse 4, the reality that everyone will go through valleys of the shadow of death, or as the Jewish translation called it, valleys of deep darkness, of persecution, pain, sickness, tragedy, fear, dread, and uncertainty. David paints this picture that even when the Lord is your shepherd, as he leads you in his paths of righteousness for the sake of his name, those paths will at times venture through dark valleys, marked by the shadow of death. Even when you stay close by the shepherd, even when you faithfully follow his guidance and his paths, you're not able to avoid life's valleys or the deepest darkness. That's the reality of life. And it's here that we're confronted with the hope that's only available to God's people. David writes in verse 4, "Even in the darkest valley, I will fear no evil." Why? What's he write? "Because you are with me." That's right. David writes that even in the hardest times, he'll be okay because he knows the Lord is with him. He uses intimate, relational language here. Not "my God is with me" or "he is with me." If you look at the first part of the psalm, he's talking about "he is my shepherd. He leads me on paths. He gives me quiet waters. He restores my soul." But then here, he changes to the intimate "you." The personal, "you, the God that I know, you are with me. The God that is ever present as my shepherd, you are with me. Therefore, I fear no evil." Is that how you understand your shepherd, your Lord and Savior? Is that how you are experiencing him? King David gives us an example. "You are with me, therefore I'm okay." King David's shepherd is not a God you visit in a temple or keep beside your bed, not a God you blindly cry out to like crossing fingers or knocking on wood. He's not karma. He's above anything this world has because he created all things. Through him all things are created. He is Adonai. He is Lord. He is alive and personal, and he created each and every one of you. And as Jesus said, he knows you by name. He is triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he appeared to humanity and lived as one of us in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. David's declaration of the reality of the Lord as shepherd, whom he followed and worshiped, the Lord who was unquestionably and undeniably with him, that is the greatest hope of all. And this is a hope that is unavailable and unattainable, unreachable to those who are outside of God's flock. So many around you in your life who don't have faith in Jesus, the good shepherd who died for the sheep, who rose from the dead and now watches over and intercedes for all of his sheep at the right hand of the Father. While the Bissell family suffered isolation from Pat and grieved her loss, they all had this hope. They knew that even though it was a dark valley of frustration, anger, and sadness and loss, they knew that the Lord was with Pat. The Lord was with Pat every moment before she died, and now every moment with her into eternity. That's hope that they held on to. They could say, Lord, we don't understand, but we know that you are with her. They knew him as their Savior, and they could trust their mother, their grandmother, to the Lord. They know that they could say, we know that you are with us in our pain. They could trust the Lord as shepherd, even though they didn't understand why they were in that dark valley. And they know that Pat was okay, and Pat is okay, because the Lord Jesus was and is with her and with them. That's the good news of the gospel that the world can't find unless they find Jesus. The Lord's goodness and mercy from verse 6 followed Pat every day because of her faith in Jesus, and it follows you when the Lord is your shepherd. That same goodness and mercy, along with God's provision for green pastures, his restoration of her soul, that was with her and is now with her for eternity. This is the greatest hope of all. And those same promises remain with the Bissell family as they grieve, as they remember, as they now live their lives in the legacy of the faith that was handed to them by Pat and her beloved Jean. Do you have this hope? Yeah, many of you do. Are you able to say, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Lord is with you always? Can you declare with David, no matter what happens next, no matter how dark the valley, I will fear no evil because you, Lord, are with me? Yes. There are some that may be listening online, that may be here, that don't have that hope. I hope you're now desperate. I hope you do not leave today without a change of heart, without seeking someone out. I'll buy the coffee. Let's get coffee. Ask anyone here just about, and they'll share with you their own understanding. They'll sit with you. But don't let another day go by apart from that hope. And if you do have that hope, I pray you're living a life that demonstrates and offers that hope to those who are hopeless around you. That begged me to ask the question, is the light of Jesus available, visible to others? Or is it hidden? Because nothing in this world can provide hope. Everything else, Paul called it loss and rubbish. All the wealth and power and sensuality that this world can offer amounts to a great big pile of you know what. Those without this hope are truly lost. And you have the spiritual antidote. You have the vaccine. You have eternal life. Is it visible in your life? I've been challenged by Psalm 23 in my living, in my priorities, in my consumption of social media and my behavior therein, in my finances, in my interactions with others, in my care for my family and my extended family. I'm challenged by Jesus the Good Shepherd. And though it's not easy, I welcome the challenge. I welcome his change. I welcome his transformation. And I pray that you will as well. I pray that this church, Redeemer, will be full of sheep who are not only with the shepherd, but that they're following the shepherd, that you are living with him, that you're marked by his presence, his new life within you, and are being transformed and proclaiming the love of the shepherd to a lost and to a hurting world. And I pray this to the glory of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.